Welcome to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
You see, Esther's parents died when she was very young. They died when she was very young. So her cousin Mordecai took care of her. He was her caretaker, and you know, he raised her from a child. It doesn't necessarily say the age she was, but it does say that she was very young. She was a child. So Mordecai raised her, and they had a king, Xerxes, in Persia, and he had a bit of a fallout with his queen, his wife. He didn't want to be married to her anymore. And unfortunately, we see that happening too often these days, yes? He didn't want to be married to her anymore. So what the king did is he put on this beauty pageant, so to speak. And theologians say it was approximately probably about 400 young virgin maidens that were brought to the kingdom so that Xerxes could pick one to be his bride, to be his queen, to be his replacement. So Esther was one of those 400. And she got chosen to be queen. She was the chosen one. Yay for her, because she was beautiful. However, there was an evil man by the name of Haman. Everybody say Haman. Who was second in command to the king, and he required everyone to bow to him. He made this law under the king, and he said, everybody's going to bow to me. Now, you see, Mordecai had a problem with that. Mordecai was Esther's cousin, who she was raised from. He had a problem with that because he was a Jew, and he loved the Lord, and he served the Lord. And he was not willing to bow to man the same way he bowed before the Lord. So he had a little problem with his knees, and he couldn't get down and bow to Haman. So Haman, in a fit of rage, found out why Mordecai wouldn't bow to him, and he found out it's because he's a Jew. So Haman devised this whole plan to annihilate the Jews. He says, oh, well, they don't believe to bow to me. And it wasn't like an honoring type of bow. It was almost like a lordship bow. It was like he wanted to be honored in a way that no human should be honored like that. So he wasn't going to do it. So Haman devised this plan to kill all the Jews, and including Mordecai and including Esther, but he didn't know about that. So Haman didn't know this little tiny important fact, and that was that Esther was a Jew, okay? And there are a bunch of Jews that lived in Persia during that time, and as queen, Esther was given a daunting task to approach the king to plead for the lives of her people. Now, to ask Esther to approach the king, it was a bit of a, it was a huge request. Mordecai asked her to approach the king. Now, back then, it didn't matter who you were. Not even the queen could approach the king without first being summoned, okay? And if you approach the king without being summoned, then you can run the risk of being put to death. You do not approach the king. The only way that you could be excused is if he pulls out his scepter and excuses you. So to ask her to do such a thing was asking her to risk her life, her position, her status, and her home as she knew it to approach the king about this issue. So Mordecai, her cousin, asked her here in verse 14, and that's where we jump to the scripture. Verse 14, it says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place," meaning that God's will always be done. God's going to save his people. "But you," everybody say me, "and my father's family will perish," meaning it will come, but because of possibly your delay, you and your people will suffer right now. "And who knows," everybody say, "who knows, but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day." And that's what I love about Esther, is that she says, you know what? Okay, I'm going to do this, but first we need to pray and we need to seek the orders from the Lord. "When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law." And here's my favorite. "And if I perish, I perish. Let me tell you, that sounds like a history maker to me. That sounds like the heart of a history maker to me. And it's not just history, it's being a part of his story. No one will remember you if you're a part of history, but they will remember you if you give your life to be a part of his story. We all can fit into a crowd, but when God pulls you out for such a time as this, you got to be ready to make those big decisions. Amen? And I want to tell you how Esther aligned herself to be a part of his story. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I pray, God, that you use me to minister this word, Lord. I pray that it does not fall on deaf ears. I pray that your word, God, be sharper than any two-edged sword. I pray, Lord, for your presence to be in this place, your glory, and you speak to us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, have you ever gotten signed up for something you had no idea what you're getting yourself into? Anybody ever walked into something you're like, whoa, I didn't know it was like that. Oh, it was like that. Okay. So many years ago, when I say many years ago, it's maybe like 13 years ago or so, my sister-in-law, my brother, and my husband, they said, Marie, it's your birthday. And I'm like, whoop, whoop, yes it is. They're like, pack your bags. We're taking you to Las Vegas. I was like, what? Because I had never been to Las Vegas, and I seen all the pictures and all the lights, and I wanted to go, and I wanted to see the shows. I'm a huge fan of Phantom of the Opera. Where are my opera fans at? No? Maybe? Wow. Okay. First service likes more opera than you guys do. All right. So I'm a huge fan of Phantom of the Opera, to say the least. Les Miserables? No? Okay. All right. So anyway, huge Phantom of the Opera fan. I was going to go see that. I love seeing shows. I want to eat at all the buffets and wake up and enjoy it and have a good time. You know, I wanted to walk the strip. I wanted to see the fountain go up from the Bellagio. You know, I wanted to have a great time. I wanted to check out the hotel and walk through the hotel and you know, order all them snacks that they have. They have like amazing pastries all the time out there. And I was just ready to enjoy my birthday. And I said, yes, I'm going to Vegas. My first time there, I'm going to have the chocolate souffle at the Paris Hotel in the top tower. I'm going to do it. So excited. So I get there, and we check into our hotel. It's like a four-hour drive or so. We check into our hotel, and to my surprise, we check into a hotel off the strip. So I'm like, all right. It's all right. It's all right. We're on a budget. It's all good. And then when we check into the hotel, I realize we're only checking in for one room. So I'm like, all right, I can share with my brother. I mean, you know, I grew up with him and my sister-in-law. It's all good, it's all good. As long as there are double beds, we'll do it. All right, no problem. Woo, I'm gonna have a great time. And then I'm like, is there like some breakfast involved in this? Or, you know, get anything free here? Or, okay, this is having an interesting start. So I'm looking at them and they're looking at me and I'm like, what's going on? And they said, we didn't want to tell you, we didn't want to reveal this to you because if we did, then you wouldn't want to come to Las Vegas. And I go, what? What? What are we doing here? And they said, we brought you here to try out for American Idol. And I said, what? And they said, I know. Wait, I know that if we told you, then you wouldn't come. I said, absolutely, I wouldn't come. Now I hate Vegas. I don't want to be here. They're like, well, you better start working on a song because you're trying out tomorrow. So I'm like, oh my gosh. So there I am in my hotel going, trying to think of a song and trying to hum this and hum that. And I'm like, I do not want to do this. I really did not want to try out for American Idol. Oh, you know? And, you know, just so you know, for those of you who want to know the outcome, they choose the people that are really, really bad and the people that are really, really good. And I'm glad that I was neither of them. So I just walked in, walked out, and I didn't even get to enjoy Vegas. Thank you very much. But anyway, God made up for it another time. It's all good. But isn't it true in our lives? We can think we're out to have a good time, but realize we're set up for a purpose. You see, I thought I was going to cruise through, have fun, sightsee, maybe do some shopping, go to the Caesar's Palace Mall, make some great memories, take some pictures, and then I found myself in a situation I didn't sign up for at all. And my experience is kind of like the story of Esther, where she didn't sign up to be queen. She didn't sign up to risk her life. But then Mordecai, her cousin, says, "Who knows, though, Esther? Who knows for such a time as this? Who knows that everything that has taken place in your life, everything that has happened, every dilemma, every failure, every success, everything that has taken place in your life has led you to this very moment?" And that's sort of how God works in our lives. He jumps into the scene of our moment. He jumps into the scene of our life at that moment. And you see in the scriptures you just read, she had no idea that when she was selected to be queen, that there was an assignment attached to it. Scripture tells us that Esther was beautiful. So let's just say it like this. She was a Kardashian, all right? That was her talent. That was her talent. God bless her. But let me tell you this, not only was Esther beautiful, Esther had character. She was obedient. And in Esther 2:20, it says, "But Esther had kept secret her family background and nationality, just as Mordecai had told her to do. For she continued to follow Mordecai's instructions as she had done when he was bringing her up." Esther was a woman of character, even as a young girl. She had this obedience inside of her. How many can get by with your personality, but as time goes by, your character surfaces to the top, right? That's what happens. We see all day people's appearances on social media. Come on, through our phones, we're scrolling through. We see people's faces, and we like the outside. Oh, man, nice picture. A lot of it is face value. Hey, I like it, I like it, I like it. And it's all what we see with our eyes. But God is looking for someone with character. God is looking for someone who says, "I have a talent, I have an ability, I am in this place, graced by the Holy Spirit, but I am willing to use it for the kingdom." We can have all the beauty and talent and followers in the world, but if we lack character, then we won't last long in the palace. So if we're going to be aligned with his story, here's your first point. You ready? Be willing to risk it all. Here's our first point. Be willing to risk it all. I don't think I gave you the title of my message, did I? Did I? Title of my message is Coming in Alignment with His Story. First point, be willing to risk it all. Esther 4:14 says, "For if you remain silent," Mordecai is telling, "for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." I love how Mordecai says, "What if? What if? What if God gave you that job to sow that seed? What if God brought that person in your life to sharpen you? What if that relationship ended to free you? What if you were given that special talent or ability to build the house of God?" You see, aligning for his story is having faith for the what if. Faith for the what if. What if God put you here for such a time as this? And let me tell you, when God calls you, when God brings you out of a moment in your honky-dory life for a second, our lives, we're all having a good time, and he says, "Excuse me, I have an assignment for you." We have to exercise our faith at that moment. Did you know that faith is a muscle? Did you know that your yes is a muscle? That your step in faith is a muscle of going forward to your next level. That if you don't say yes to your next, you're never going to be asked to the place of fulfillment. You see, you have to take that step and say yes, and God's not going to have you do a huge hurdle. He's going to let you take one step at a time. It's a muscle. It's a series of yeses. It's a series of obedience. It's a series of sharpening of your character. It's a series of laying down your life for the kingdom. It's a series of saying, "God, I'm laying it down and I'm willing to say yes." So yes, Your faith step is your muscle, and you need to exercise that and say, yes, yes, yes. And then before you know it, the this moment comes, and you're able to say, yes, instead of, ooh, I can't do it. See, he bought gas for his motorcycle. And I love how Esther says in verse 16, she says, when this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. If I perish, I perish. If I die, then I die. And we can't regard our lives so great. If there's something that you're not willing to die for, I want to tell you, you have not lived yet. You have not lived yet. If you're just here to breathe and be a consumer and take up oxygen, well, then you know what? That's all it's going to be. But I want my life to mean something. I want my life to leave a legacy. I want my name to be written. I want to be remembered. I want to leave something. I want to leave something that my kids feel challenged to walk and step into. I want them to be able to stand on my shoulders and say, this is how far you can go. You can go as far as you can see while you're on my shoulders. And you're not going to get to that level unless you keep saying yes. Yes. And exercising that faith step. See, Esther didn't want to just live a moment of history. She wanted to be a part of making his story. And a history maker will be asked to risk it all for the kingdom. If there's no risk, then no faith is needed. If there's no risk, then no obedience is required. If there's no risk, then your heart doesn't need to grow. If there's no risk, then your next level will not come. And if there's no risk, then no history is made through you. There needs to be a moment in all of our lives where we say, yes, Lord. And if this has to die in my life, then it has to die. If my selfishness has to die, then it has to die. If my comfort has to die, then it has to die. If my ego has to die, if my pride has to die, if my addiction has to die, if my sin has to die. See, God wants to know what you're willing to die in your life for. For the kingdom. You know, this addiction isn't worth it. I don't need it anymore. It can die. Because it's secondary to what God has called me to. Amen. You know this thing that my flesh really wants? You know this relationship that I really want? I want to tell you, you got to let it die. Die until you receive orders from the kingdom. What is my assignment? See, I can't even risk inviting something into my life until I know that it's in alignment with what God has for my life. All of you treating dating like it's a testing table. Let me try this dip. Let me try that dip. Let me try that dip. Meanwhile, you're getting full of yourself and not full of what God wants to fill you with. You're tasting things because you don't know what really tastes good. The Word of God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when you see the Lord in someone else, then you're going to want to taste more of that and be like, oh, yes, I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good in that man of God, in that woman of God. And some of you need to bring out the best in your spouse. Bring out the best in them, not the worst in them. Speak life into them. Stop spitting bitter pepper on them. We want to add to the ingredient of the home, add to the ingredient of the house, add to the ingredient of the family, add to the ingredient of the marriage, and speak life, speak love, come in alignment. That is your wife, that is your husband, and they shouldn't be going anywhere or contemplating going anywhere. Dying to what your flesh wants, so you can know what your spirit wants to be in alignment for. Matthew 16, 25, it says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Isn't that the most amazing thing about God? Is that he says, if you give, I'll give you more. And we're trying to teach Judah that right now. Give me some of your chips. No. Well, don't you know I'm the one who bought that for you? That I can buy you as much chips as you want. Besides, you don't need more chips. First of all. But second of all, give me some chips. No. But you know what? We could be selfish like that with God. God saying, give me 10%. Just 10%. And we say, no. Well, then you're not going to be ready for increase. Then you know what? Be happy with your 100% of nothing. God has something for you. God has so much more for you. God has greatness inside of you. But until we're willing to risk it all and come into alignment for His word, for His will, until we're ready to come into alignment, we'll never experience all that God has for us. God has so much more, so much more. And listen, when we don't give to God, God bless him. I like motorcycles, it's all right. When we don't give to God, we can't breathe supernatural increase over it. We can't breathe supernatural increase over our finances. We can't breathe supernatural increase over our marriages. We can't breathe supernatural increase over our children. But when we give it to God, God does something miraculous. He breathes on it and multiplies it. I love what Paul says in Acts 20, 24. He says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Freedom House, if we regard our lives more sacred than the calling of God, we will miss our such a time as this moment. We will miss it. Well, leads me to my second point. Stay in alignment for your assignment. Stay in alignment for your assignment. Now, I'm here to tell you that to get in alignment with God, it's not walking side by side. It's coming here in alignment with Him. And saying, okay, I identify where God is. I want to be where God is. But so many of us are out of alignment, but yet we want God to bless our out of alignment. We're saying, God, bless me with this. Bless me with that. Lord, I need this right now. Lord, take care of this. Lord, take care. And God's saying, I want you, but you're out of alignment. And when you're out of alignment, you don't even know what to pray for because you don't know the heart of God. And the Lord says that He wants to give you your heart's desires. Oh, yes, He does. If you're in alignment with His heart. Because if you two are in agreement, if you two are in unity, if you two are in alignment, then what you desire is what He desires for you. And then there's peace added on it. And then there's favor added on it. And then there's increase added on it. And then there's supernatural blessing and increase in every way. But when you're asking God to bless you outside of His will, well, then you just hide His hands. And the evidence of our alignment is in our obedience. It's in our obedience. You see, obedience is better than sacrifice. Because sacrifice is your terms with God. I'll sacrifice this. Yeah, I'll give this. Okay, it's a sacrifice for me. But obedience is God's terms with you. Sacrifice is my terms. Obedience is His terms. Now, I'm willing to sacrifice a lot of things. A lot of us here are willing to sacrifice. We live a life of sacrifice for our kids, for everything else, for other people. Some of us are really generous in that area, but I'm talking about obedience. That when God tells you to do something that you're not sure you want to do, that you're not sure you're willing to do, but if God says it, then I'm obedient, Lord. Okay. And that's not sacrifice. That is obedience. 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 When Esther's purpose, her assignment was activated, she could no longer view her crown as just a privilege. It is now a responsibility. You see, some of us, we're in Southern California. Look at this nice breeze we have. You know, look at the cars and everything that we have here in our country and the freedom that we have and all these wonderful things. These are privileges that we get to share. But once we realize that we have a responsibility, we have a responsibility to fund the kingdom. We have a responsibility to build God's house. We have a responsibility to take care of our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, to be healed so that God can use us. We have a responsibility to get healed from our past, healed from our situations, so that we can be open, ready vessels for God to use. Because how many of us, we don't want to deal with getting healed. We're so stuck in the past so that when God calls us, when our this moment comes, we're not ready because we're so condemning of ourselves. We say, no, I can't. I can't. For such a time, not as this. I'm not ready, God. No. Because, you know, I wonder if God could give me a tally give us a tally of how many people say no versus how many people say yes on a daily basis. I wonder how many excuses God gets in a day. I know quite a few of mine he's heard. Like when Pastor asked me to preach this morning, I was like, okay, yes, yes, Lord. And I wasn't calling my husband Lord. I was saying yes to the Lord first, but I was sure giving my husband a funny face. Faith muscle, faith muscle. We got to continue to walk in faith and say, yes, Lord, I'm coming in alignment. See, Esther did not come out of alignment. Esther actually was selected queen on the 7th year of Xerxes' reign. But she wasn't activated until his 12th year of reign, which means that she remained humble. She remained a heart of a servant. She remained obedient those 5 years while she was in the palace just wandering around. And how many of us can grow weary in well-doing? How many of us can circle the palace, be in the house of God and say, oh, Lord, when's my man coming? Oh, Lord, you still haven't changed my wife. She's still nagging the heck out of me. Oh, Lord, you still haven't come through for me. Oh, Lord, I'm still coughing. I still feel sick. Oh, Lord, we could grow weary in the house of God. Oh, Lord, when's this coming? When is that coming? I want to tell you that your this moment is coming. And this is our this moment. If God could do this on the patio, imagine what he could do inside of there. Our this moment is coming, and we don't have time. We don't have time to be stuck growing weary in circles in the house of God, because God is going to activate us. God has activated a lot of us in a lot of areas. God has activated to next level. And you know what? God has an assignment that is coming up really soon for us as well. For such a time as this. See, when you're out of alignment, you'll hold back on what you can do for God. And in turn, God will hold back on what he can do for you. Personality, talent, looks alone will not sustain us. Esther's beauty got her in the game, but her character kept her in the kingdom win. Your character will keep you in alignment with your God assignment, because you can attitude your way out of God's will. You can attitude your way out of God's will, I'm telling you, because you're out of alignment. You're out of alignment. Your heart is not in the right place. You're physically in the right place, but your heart's not in the right place. Leads me to my third point. The level of your obedience is the level of your next. The level of your obedience is the level of your next. Let me say it again. The level of your obedience is the level of your next. And let me tell you, to wrap this up, what Esther went through in her life. God did something so amazing, because she went to the king, okay? She went to the king and she was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to walk in obedience. And it's not comfortable. And today I could die. But I'm going to go to the king, even though I'm not being summoned. And I'm going to plead for my people, as my cousin has heard from the Lord and asked me to do. I'm going to go. And she went in there. And let me tell you, when you act in obedience before the Lord, God makes a way where there is no way. God makes a way where people are going to tell you, oh man, if you give, if you do this, you're not going to have anything left over. Oh, if you give, if you serve all the time, then you know what? You're neglecting your family. You're neglecting all your friends. Oh, if you do this, if you lay down your life in this area, they're going to want to tell you how you're going to lose. But God never loses. God always wins. He's already won. And I want to tell you how God will align people to stand in the gap for you when you walk in obedience, and they don't even know they're doing it. Let's read Esther 7, verses 1 through 6. It says, so the king and Haman, that terrible man who wanted to kill all the Jews, went to Queen Esther's banquet. So Esther, she fasted and prayed. She did her due diligence. She's like, I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I need to seek the Lord on what to do. So she returned the honor to Xerxes, King Xerxes, what he did for her, because when he first married her, he threw a big lavish banquet for her. So she says, you know what? My husband, he's worth double honor. I'm going to give him two banquets. And that's how she won his heart over. She loved him the way he loved her, but double. Some of you in your marriages, you're suffering in your marriage. You know what? You just need to love him back double. You need to love her back double. Every which way that the enemy has stolen from your marriage, you can love back double and let the Lord increase your obedience and your heart to bring things back together. You see, God wants your marriage to work. I just feel led to talk about that. God wants your marriage to work. God is for your marriage. God is for your family. God is for your children being raised in the house of God. God wants that to happen. But in order for you to know how to make that happen, you've got to stay faithful in the house of God. Faithful, walking in obedience, doing things that seem ridiculous, but in the end, you see why God asked you to do it. So, okay, so she puts this banquet on, which seemed probably ridiculous. Then she put a banquet on him for the next day, and to her left is King Xerxes, her husband, and to the right is Haman, this evil man. So on this second occasion, while they were drinking wine, the king again said to Esther, listen to this. The king says this to her, tell me what you want, Queen Esther. What is your request? I will give it to you even if it is half the kingdom. You see, it shows who Esther is because the king would not say that if she was just beautiful. The king said that to her because she was a woman of character. The king said that to her because he trusted that she wasn't going to come out of alignment of who she was and her purpose. And you know, we see something similar conversation take place between God and King Solomon, where God asked King Solomon, King Solomon, I want to bless you. What do you want? And King Solomon thought about it and he says, Lord, grant me wisdom that I may govern your people righteously. And God was so moved by his answer that he said, because you didn't ask for the death of your enemies, because you didn't ask for all the riches in the world, I'm going to give it all to you anyways and wisdom. And that's because God trusted him with that question. And you know, there's going to come a point that when you walk into your this moment, God is going to ask you that question. What do you want? What do you want? What does your blessing look like? I want to bless you because I love you. I trust you with my blessing. I trust that the blessing that I give you isn't going to drive you away from me. It's going to draw you closer to me. I trust you with my blessing. Can God trust you with his increase? Can God trust you with his blessing? So he asked Queen Esther, what is your request? I will give it to you even if it is half the kingdom. And Queen Esther replied, if I have found favor with the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my request, I ask that my life and the lives of my people will be spared. For my people and I have been sold to those who would kill, slaughter, and annihilate. Doesn't that sound like the devil kill, steal, and destroy? Haman wanted to kill, slaughter, and annihilate the Jews. And you know what? There's always going to be a Haman in your life against what Mordecai has told you to do. There's always going to be a Mordecai, and there's always going to be a Haman. And you got to rebuke that Haman. And I'm going to read on. You're going to see that right now. If we had merely been sold as slaves, I could remain silent, for that would be too trivial a matter to warrant disturbing the king. Who would do such a thing? King Xerxes demanded. Who would be so presumptuous as to touch you? Esther replied, I love this part. The wicked Haman is our adversary and our enemy. And let me tell you, church, the enemy is always at work trying to expose you. But when you get the opportunity, when you're there next to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I want to tell you that you can reverse it and you can expose the enemy for everything that he's devising against your life. You can stand against him and say, God, look at this adversary. Look at this enemy. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy me. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy my home. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy the work that you want to complete. I expose you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And you have no place in the plan of God. You have no place. You're not going to shake me. I'm going to walk in obedience, and I rebuke the Hamans that are against our lives, against this church, against this facility, against what God wants to do, against the lives being transformed, against the baptisms, the salvations, the transformation, the healing. I come against it in the name of Jesus. We expose the Haman. And Haman, being exposed at that moment, grew pale with fright before the king and the queen, because even though Haman was second in command, he had no jurisdiction over the king. And I don't care how big, because Haman was probably at a higher level esteemed than even the queen, definitely over Mordecai. It doesn't matter how high, how big the enemy can look in your life. When you stand next to the King of Kings, when you hide under the shadow of the Almighty, he is your protector. He is your provider. He is there to take care of you. He is there to guard you. And let me tell you, God got your back. You know why? You know the only way God can have you, God can protect you, isn't if you're beside him. It's if you're under him. We hide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that is perfect example of how we are in alignment with God. When you come in alignment with him to make his story made through your life, he will shield you. He will protect you. He will keep your kids and your home safe in Jesus' name. He will turn everything around for good. Your next level is waiting for your next act of obedience. Esther 8, 1 through 2, it says, on that same day, King Xerxes gave the property of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, to Queen Esther. Everything that the enemy tried to steal and every plan that the enemy had is going to turn around for God's glory and to your blessing. God gets the glory, you get the blessing. And not the other way around. Then Mordecai was brought before the king, for Esther had told the king how they were related. Now it's revealed. That's why Mordecai used wisdom and said, don't reveal who you are, that you're a Jew, until I say. Then Mordecai revealed who they were. They were Jews. And the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken back from Haman, because he gave it to Haman. He said, give me that ring. You no longer have authority here. And gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai to be in charge of all of Haman's property. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. All this because one person was willing to die for what she believed in. One person was willing to die and risk it all. Risk it all. One person. This willing soul is exemplary of the mastermind working God that we serve. Thank you, Jesus. I want to ask you today, stay in the house. Stay in the house of God. Stay here. I know it's been a few months, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20. I don't know how long you've been in the house, in the palace, just wandering. And some of you get wiggle worm and you wiggle worm out there and then you wiggle worm your way back into the house anyway. So might as well just stay in the house. And wait patiently on the Lord and say, God, I'm waiting for my this moment. You see, there's an anointing on your this moment. And God is with you on your this moment. What is your this moment? This right here, right now, right before our eyes, this house, Freedom House, this is our this moment. We all have a moment marked here in history where we can be a part of his story.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. To find out more about Freedom House Church, visit us at freedomhouseoc.org.